Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. And is this our last show of 2024?
The bubble bell is back. You knew I had to bring it in to celebrate sort of the New Year's.
We've done a whole year of shows.
We've done a whole year.
Whew. Oh my God.
I'm exhausted. How about
you? When did we start? 2023?
Yeah.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, it's been over
a
year
now.
Okay,
but this is our first full, like, January to
full calendar
January,
year.
Almost.
That's so awesome. Ding, ding, ding. See? And he's celebrating.
Yeah.
And this is Jeff, our producer's first episode with the Bubble Bell, so he's in for a treat.
He may choose to leave.
This is going to be like an entire show thing? Like,
yeah, yeah. Okay. Just so this is what it's going to be like.
You may have to take it away.
That's why it hasn't been
closer.
Here.
You're closer to the area.
It's why it hasn't been here for a while. If Virginie put me on a strict, don't bring the Bubble Bell in for like, I don't know.
I'm not sure it was only me, but that's
everyone,
fine.
Everyone?
Yeah. Popular demand. I think we got calls.
All those write-ins. the comments on the podcast.
Our Russian listeners in particular did not love it.
They were like, no bells. It's frightening. We don't know why the bell's ringing.
Every time you ring the bell, we have to drink a shot of vodka.
Totally. So. Like, stop doing that.
Yeah.
Oh.
We're punchy already.
Yeah, it's going to be a giggly show today, so that's good.
And we're not even drinking bubbles. I mean,
not yet,
I think there should be a rule. If you bring the Bubble Bell, we must be drinking bubbles.
Well, now you tell me that rule. That would have been good to know about 20 minutes ago.
DoorDash? I don't know.
Seriously.
Our future sponsor, DoorDash. Or
that'd be amazing.
GoPuff or
something.
What is it called?
I don't even know. Seriously.
Okay.
Okay, so much going on.
What is going on?
Well, we were super excited. We announced a couple of weeks ago that we have a brand new sports partnership. So
it's 1 a week?
I know, 1 a week. Why not? Is really the question. Why not? So trying something really different. We're actually going into minor league hockey. And you might say, why would we do that?
Nope.
You think that's all good.
I think it's
enough
great.
Enough said.
I mean, it's better than doing major league hockey.
I would think so. Well, so we are the new official sponsor of the Coachella Valley. So down in Palm Springs, the desert, Firebirds. And what's super great about there's so many great things. So many great things. Ring the bell for that about this partnership. One is that, you know, spending time, a lot of time down in the desert, as Steve and I do during the year, we've done a number of wine dinners and winemaker dinners, and always the guests are talking about going to these hockey games in the Coachella Valley at the new Acrisure Arena and talking about how much fun it is. They love drinking wine in the suites. They love hanging out there. It's something for the snowbirds to do down in the desert and something for the locals to do. They host concerts at the arena, everything. So kind of like planted a little seed as we were looking at partnerships, like why not do something kind of in our backyard? You know, Avelo flies direct in and out of Palm Springs to Santa Rosa. So easy to get there, easy for our wine partners and growers to get there, easy for fans to come here, which we're going to be hopefully doing a lot of. And the sort of overarching owner of Acrisure Arena and the team is Oakview Group, which is a very large global company that has several arenas, 400 plus around the U.S. and outside of the U.S. A lot of food and beverage. In fact, they are the concession for the Sonoma County Fairgrounds.
Which
is so interesting. OVG, we're like, is that Oakview Group, like same people? Yes, it is.
So does that mean there's a lot of turkey legs?
I don't know. Interesting. But coming up right after New Year, since we are on our New Year's show, we are also with that partnership. We are the presenting sponsor of the Cactus Cup, which is, Cactus Cup, of course, in the desert. But it's college hockey. It's a college hockey tournament, January 3rd and 4th. So we'll be activating down there with some sampling. We actually have, we're now on the Interstate 10 billboard, which is great. We can change it up saying like, you know, welcomes folks going to Stagecoach or Coachella for music, welcome folks coming to the hockey games. We actually have our first TV commercial that is going to be airing during the broadcast of the hockey games, doing a lot of suite activations. I mean, just so many things. So it actually in our backyard-ish, adjacent, lots of fun stuff to do with them. So we're really excited to kick off this partnership.
Well, I love that thought that people can come. It people can come here so easily yes. from there. So it actually makes a ton of sense.
And we're going to invite them all.
Well, they should all.
As they should.
Yeah. Right? And they can fly their wine free.
Exactly. They can fly their wine free from here back home.
Yep. I love it. Okay. Well, I want to know more about the Cactus Cup when it gets closer.
I know.
Keep us apprised.
You'll have to come down and hang out and see a game.
I would like to do that.
Okay. Done.
Cactuses and hockey sound like a bad combination, but hey.
You know.
All right. We'll be right back to introduce our guest on this week's Good Stuff. Welcome back to The Good Stuff. Our guest today for our last show of 2024 is somebody you know well, Carissa.
I do.
Her name's Kylie Dutton, a name you
Does know. That sound familiar?
Yeah, it sounds really familiar. Kylie
I
Dutton.
Use it occasionally.
Yeah. Vice President, Winemaking and Production for Dutton Estate. And I will just say, because we look forward to hearing her story, sixth generation of farmers in Sonoma County, the site of the Duttons' bachelor's degree in Ag Econ from University of Arizona and a winemaking certificate from UC Davis. Welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great to see you.
Yeah, you too.
I know. It's like
long time.
Family know, in right? studio. Yeah. All right. So, I mean, I feel awkward asking the questions since
no,
we
you have to.
Know each other so well. But let's talk about, you know, your family has a rich farming legacy, as we just sort of pointed to with the sixth generation of farmers. It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
But it spans generations on both your mother and your father's mm-hmm. side.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that. Like Who is everyone?
Who
is everyone?
Who are these people that you're related
the family
to?
Tree.
How much yeah. time do we have?
Yeah. Well, yeah. We'll cut you off at some yeah. point.
We'll get you a whiteboard.
Yeah, yeah.
And we can put some pictures
it
up.
It can be a long family tree. Yeah, and so I'm sixth generation Sonoma County farmer on the Dutton side, but I'm fifth generation Sonoma County farmer on my mom's side. My mom was a Kozlowski. Her family owned Kozlowski Farms. They were once the largest raspberry patch in Sonoma County. And so cool. my
That's a great distinction.
I know. Yeah.
Ding, bell for that.
Largest raspberry patch.
So my mom grew up very rich in agriculture, as did my dad. And so, you know, their family farms were pretty much right next door to each other. Mm-hmm. So my mom and dad didn't know each other much growing up, but my grandmothers did. So they were kind of the boy and girl next door.
Mm-hmm.
And then
did the grandmothers match make?
I think a little bit. Yeah. The story came to be from the Sonoma County Apple Fair, and my dad saw my mom at the Kozlowski Farms booth, and then,
And he was at the Apple booth.
Yes, he was at the Apple booth, and my dad was like, who is that woman there in the Kozlowski booth? And my grandma, Gail, was like, I think that's, you know, Carol's daughter, Tracy. And so my dad was like, I need to meet her. So it was kind of like a year in the making. So that kind of sparked interest. And then, my grandma, my dad's side, Gail Dutton, Nani, we call her, would send my dad to Kozlowski Farms for, you know, various things. And so they had to talk and get to know each other. And then a year later, I believe one of my aunts on my mom's side paid my cousins to go up to my dad and say, are you going to finally ask out our cousin Tracy? And
so, I don't think I knew that part.
Yeah. And so my dad was like, okay, I'm going to go ask her out. So he did. And they went to lunch the next day.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So there was a lot of meddling, I think.
Former
guest of the show, Gail. I could see her being like, Joe, go over there and pick up, I don't know. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, I might need some raspberries.
Yeah, it was like raspberries, jars, so, you know, Nani could make jam. You know,
yeah.
It was just random
go
things.
Trade some apples for raspberries.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, and then maybe to like just be clear with our listeners, Joe Dutton, your dad,
yes.
is the brother of Steve Dutton.
My husband.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what can you add to that story? What do you know from Steve's side?
That's about how it went.
Okay.
What I can add is I'm pretty sure Gail definitely meddled and knowing Carol Kozlowski as well, I'm pretty sure she meddled.
Yes.
And I think they were both really, really happy to have two kind of ag families. I mean, especially because, you know, farming is, not an easy business, and it's not a typical business. So to have two families come together who understand each other fundamentally, I think is really important.
Yeah. No, I would agree.
I mean, it removes the shock of like, it's harvest season.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you're going to be busy nonstop.
So was Joe, would you describe Joe Dutton as shy? Like, is he, you know?
No. Do you think? Oh, look at Kylie. I mean, it's your dad.
No.
I mean.
No, I don't think he's shy.
Well, it's funny. I actually always thought he was more outgoing than Steve. My husband.
Okay.
Well, I just felt Steve is a little more like stoic, I guess. And then, and then like has a very dry sense of humor where I think your dad is just funny. Like,
yeah, he's just goofy.
He's goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in that way, a little more outgoing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so.
All right. Well, it worked out.
Yeah, it did. So I'm here.
You're here. You're not the only one here.
Woo-hoo,
there
yeah.
are
Belle.
Three girls. Is that right?
Yes. So. I have two sisters and I'm squeezed in the middle.
Okay.
Oh, the middle sister syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
So what's that like? Talk about, so who are your sisters and what are they all up to?
Yeah. So my older sister that is Kendall. My younger sister, Carmen. Carmen's actually named after my great grandmother on my mom's side, Carmen Kozlowski. And so my older sister and I work together every day at the winery. She's kind of head of operations, vice president of operations. She really oversees, you know, direct to consumer sales, wine club, hospitality, all of that aspect, while I'm more of like winemaking, production, wholesale. And then my younger sister, Carmen, she is working in San Francisco right now as a certified public accountant. Well, almost there as soon as she...
Right. She's doing all her tests, right?
Yeah,
there's a lot of tests.
Finishes all her tests.
Oh, God.
But yeah, she's working for an accounting firm in the city, kind of just going to go get some other experiences before... Hopefully. Coming back into the family business one day. It's been great. She, you know, went to University of Arizona just like I did, and she was going to major in agriculture, and we're there at her orientation, and she's like, "I'm gonna switch my major," and I was like, "Oh no, mom and dad are gonna kill me." But she's like, "I think I'm gonna do business and accounting." I was like, "Okay, we can work.
We
with
can work.
That.
Yeah, there's that, still hope.
Very, very necessary.
For sure.
Setting. Yeah,
more and more.
Yeah."
And then talk about, so your mom and dad meet, so get married, so have three girls, and then somewhere along the way, your dad, so Joe Dutton, is farming with Steve, his brother, my husband.
Yes.
So they have Dutton Ranch, but then your mom and your dad start Dutton Estates.
Yeah.
So what's kind of the history of that?
So they bought the property in 1994, so... they were married in spring of 94, had my oldest sister in the late fall of 94, and then were buying the winery property and then started Dutton Estate Winery in 1995. So they were
that's
super
big
busy.
2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's
lot.
Get married, have a baby, and start, buy a property, start a wine brand.
Yeah.
What
could
go wrong?
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
It's great.
Exactly.
All at once is best. Right.
So, but they wouldn't have been able to do it without, you know, family support and, you know, our grandmas watched us all the time, took care of us. Great grandma was also super involved as well. Aunts, uncles, everybody. So
the benefits of a big family
is
staying in one area. But talk about the property that they bought. So, because that's where people can come visit now. But but what was that property when they found it?
It was already converted into a tasting room by a family friend. So my dad had purchased it from a family friend who had converted it from a old Spanish home. There was a Spanish family that lived there. He converted it into a tasting room and then sold it to my parents. It kind of just started out as that, as a little tasting bar for people who didn't have tasting rooms. There was wine poured there. And then my parents came out with their inaugural vintage of one Chardonnay, one Pinot Noir, and just kind of built it from there. But, my mom was, she had me in 1996, in the spring of 1996, and 3 days later, she was there at the tasting room, and I was in my car seat, and then all my grandmas and my great grandmas, like, came to check on me and, like, make sure that I was fed, and so my mom could work.
So crazy. Different times.
Yeah, very different times.
Yeah, pre-seatbelts.
Pre a lot of stuff, yeah, I think.
Yeah. So, okay. So you're not even born when this business starts. Mm-hmm. And then you go to University of Arizona to study. I mean, it seems like you already had some interest in ag because you did choose to kind of study ag econ.
Yeah.
What were you thinking you'd come back and work in the family business, or were you interested in doing other things? What were you...
It was a little bit of both. Like, I chose agriculture, econ, because it was just a more, you know, general kind of businessy degree that I could get. Like, if I did want to come into the family business or if I did want to go do something else. And I always did have it in the back of my mind. But of course, like, as a young girl growing up, you always, like, have your dreams of, like, I want to be an interior designer, like, yeah, you know, maybe a lawyer or something. And so, you know, I took an interest in wine at a very, very young age. So, it, you know, my family always really encouraged me, like, in a very positive way of, like, we think that you could do this, like, you would be great at it. And, you know, because I would maybe have some self-doubt of, like, can I do this? And so, after college, like, I did interview places. I did have another job in San Francisco lined up if I wanted to go do that. But then I just kind of quickly realized, like, you know, a lot of people come into the wine business as a second career, where I could choose it as a first career and be super young and then be super experienced and really evolved, you know, at a very young age. And so I was excited about that. Mm. And so I kind of took the leap of faith and went into the cellar.
And talk about, because you had a good mentor,
yes,
at Dun & Stare, probably several, but
yes,
so talk a little bit about, like, how do you start? Like, because ag econ is not winemaking.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
So how do you bridge?
I was in the taste, you know, I kind of throughout college would come home, work in the tasting room, just like help out, deliver wine. And I just always took interest in how wine was made and the artistry and the complexities. And so, you know, what's one way to learn about winemaking other than to just do it yourself? So I had a phone conversation with our consulting winemaker, Bobby Donnell, actually, when I was still at school. And he just kind of talked to me about, you know, this is what it would look like if you came into the cellar. And I was like, okay.
Lots of cleaning equipment.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cleaning.
Barrels.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
so I was like, okay.
And then the fun stuff.
Yeah. And he just kind of talked to me about winemaking. And I was like, okay, like, I'll give this a shot. Like, why not? So so I did.
So you've learned by doing.
Yeah.
And learn over time.
Yeah.
With somebody kind of guiding you.
Yeah. And then I just.
But then you also went and got a certificate,
yeah,
though. So
yeah,
you got a little bit of, like,
yeah,
formal.
Yeah,
so what,
yeah.
So where did you do that?
And
what was that?
I did it through UC Davis. So Bobby had done the same thing, Bobby Donnell. I was like, oh, you know, I'll do the certificate as well. And so he just kind of, like, mentored me through that process.
Great.
As well. And it was awesome because then you were learning, but then also doing at the same time. So
helpful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so things were coming up in class, and then it was like I was actually experiencing these things in the
later
cellar
that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
you're like, off I go.
Yeah. Literally. So it was a lot of fun, and I just realized after 1 year of helping out in the cellar that I really liked it. So then I wanted to continue with it.
Do most of the wines that you make at Dutton Estate come from Dutton grown grapes? Are you sort of sourcing more widely than that?
They do. All basically 100% do come from Dutton Ranch fruit, but I did go and source.
You went a little rogue.
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
I went
good
a little
for you.
Rogue.
Okay.
Yeah. I sourced some Vermentino from a vineyard in Carneros, just to do something fun, different, expand my winemaking horizons a little bit. I've been making Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Sauvignon Blanc for, you know, 5 years at the time, so I kind of started going down a little bit, and Bobby being the great mentor that he is, and number one, you know, lesson from him is always experiment, always, you know, broaden your horizons, expand, do something uncomfortable in the cellar. Mm-hmm. So he was just like, I need you to go like this,
let's
come back
advice.
Up.
Let's come back
and,
up. Yeah.
He just was like, is there a varietal that you had a special connection with? Like, can we go source it? Just, you know, and just he was like, I want to challenge you, like go source something fun, just ask for 1 to 2 tons and just make it yourself. And
then what was the result? Because it turned out so well, and I am a customer of that wine, so I can validate that. So then what happened?
There's now some Vermentino vines that have gone into Dunowned property in the spring of this year.
That's some power.
So going to swing all the way back to all estate fruit again.
Yes. No, but that's brilliant. That's a brilliant way to do it. I mean, proof of concept, sort of play with the grapes, see how it goes, and then why not plant it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is super fun. So I think that will be the very first Vermentino planted, or is the first Vermentino planted at any of the Dutton Ranch vineyards.
Yes,
so
is.
Very cool. So you had a vision and did it. And it was excellent. And
take
now you're going to do more of it.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more with our guest, Kylie Dutton. Studio with Kylie Dutton, Vice President of Winemaking and Production of Dutton Estate. And you, as the winemaker, you work with your two sisters, as you sort of explained earlier. What's it like working alongside your sisters? And what were you all like growing up?
Yeah, what are the different personalities? I want to hear your version of that. I don't think I've ever asked you that, Kylie.
The different personalities.
Or I can just ring the bell a lot and you can ignore that question.
I mean, we've got an old, you know, so you have an older sister who's in charge of operations. That kind of tracks with first girl.
Yeah, yeah.
You're middle. Yes. Maybe a little more adventurous, creative,
seems
like.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you were in the first, because you and Carmen both left home for college, so you were kind of led that charge.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Carmen followed behind you, so emulating you a little bit. So that's more risk-taking.
Yeah. True. I think... Yeah, definitely. You know, Kendall just being the oldest, taking charge. And, you know, Carmen and I just being the two younger sisters, we just sort of kind of like sit back to that a little bit and are just
follow
like,
along.
Yeah. And so, and Kendall also too being like a caretaker of her two sisters, like say, like if, you know, recently, like I had to get a new computer and like it comes and I get to the winery and Kendall already has it set up for me because she's not going to
She's
like,
used to taking care of you.
Yeah. She's like your mini mom.
She's like, I'm not going to watch you struggle to do this. I'm just going to do it for you. So
did she always get, is she the one that always got blamed for everything? Cause she was the oldest. Like she wasn't supposed to let you guys get in trouble or.
No.
Were you the troublemaker? I feel like you might
like
be the troublemaker.
She didn't get in trouble.
Yeah.
By design.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel like Kylie might have been the troublemaker.
Yeah. I think a little bit. And then also, too, I know with, like, family dynamics and having three siblings, it's kind of usually the middle one by default is always gets the blame. I don't know why, but it
The
does.
Younger ones point fingers.
The youngest one's too young. They're the baby. So,
So, and then I would say, I'm definitely a little bit more adventurous with everything that I do. You know, I'm always wanting to take risks. You know, whether that be I pack my bags and go live somewhere else for, you know, 4 years.
But you also did, too. You did an internship, a winemaking internship.
Yeah.
Abroad.
Yeah.
Talk
yep.
about
abroad,
that. And
yeah.
the timing was crazy.
Yeah, the timing was crazy. I went to New Zealand to do a winemaking internship. Got on the airplane, which I think is... kind of fun. I skipped leap year that year because I left here
right,
on the
28th. Oh,
and then I landed in New Zealand on March 1st. So I completely missed February 29th.
I didn't know that. That's really funny. Literally a day gone.
Yeah, literally. And there was this, you know, information that was spreading through the news. This was during February 2020.
Oh, fun.
And... you know, things started getting a little wild and crazy, and I thought I was okay and, you know, on my New Zealand island, and, you know, borders started closing. I was in the middle of my internship. I was having a lot of fun, and my parents were like, should she come back? Should she not come back? And my mom was on the phone with the airline, and the airline was like, I don't see a flight past this date. And
oh, so God.
If it was my daughter, I'd get her on. And so I ended up leaving a little earlier than I had wanted from my internship, but I wasn't the only one who ended up having to leave. And then there were actually a couple interns that weren't able to show up because their flights were canceled. It was just a crazy year to navigate. I came back and, someone told me, they were like, oh, you're going to remember this forever.
For
like
sure.
You having to leave your internship early and come back here because of a global pandemic.
Oh, yeah. And being so far.
Yeah.
And to your point, like an isolated place
that
needs to be very careful.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So what were you hoping to get out of that internship before it was taken away from you?
To go experience something completely different. Being at the winery, it's small production, super high quality, everything is, touching and just a lot of attention to detail. And it was having that experience without having to go, work at another winery around here. I could go down south and experience the other side of winemaking. And by down south, I mean Southern Hemisphere, experience large production winemaking where you're receiving 10 tons of grapes in dump trucks that are being dumped into the hopper, and then you're sending it to the press, and you have 10 ton presses that are all going at the same time.
Yeah, a little different than Diet State.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I mean invaluable. And was the winery Sauvignon Blanc focused or Pinot Noir focused?
Yes, Sauvignon Blanc. Okay. Focused. They did have a white cellar and a red cellar, but for comparison, they the 10 ton presses were all for Sauvignon Blanc, and then they had one 10-ton press that was just for reds.
Okay, so
there's the scale, which makes total sense because the Sauv Blanc at Dutton Estate is named after you.
Yes, yes.
And then you have wines named after your sisters too. So what are the three?
So my older sister Kendall has the Chardonnay named after her. She's the Kendall's Reserve Chardonnay. I'm Kylie's Cuvée Sauvignon Blanc, and then Carmen is the Carmen Isabella Pinot Noir. I always say that if you want to look at favorites or my parents' favorites, you just look at our price points.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that is funny.
I think that's, I think what you implied is that middle child, you're still the middle child.
Yeah, right? You're still.
Yeah.
Well, and also talk about, you do something and it's literally my favorite. You do an apple cider.
Yes.
From the Dutton, so from the other Dutton crop, which brought your parents together, the apples.
Yep, the apples.
So talk about that, because, I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And you are instrumental in making that, too.
Yeah. That's been a project that we started a lot. It was when I was in college still, but it was just, a couple barrels of cider that our consulting winemaker, Terry Adams, at the time was just hand bottling. Uh-huh. And it kind of grew from there. And a long time ago, I was like, hey, why don't we make a sparkling wine? And my dad was like, that's a good idea. But then, how could we be a state if we made a sparkling wine? And then, we can't. We'd have to take it off site. So he was like, oh, I've got one better. Like, let's do a cider. And so it was kind of like his idea. And then since I came on, we moved from just making, 500 bottles. We went into cans, started canning cider. We went from 16-ounce cans to 12-ounce cans, kind of do more like the White Claw style, which, everyone was gravitating towards. And so it's been a great project to do. It's been a tough project because cider is one tough animal
to make.
Yeah,
that's too bad.
Yeah,
people do love it.
Yeah, it's not like wine. It's susceptible to a lot of things.
Mm. And you use a lot of the Gravensteins. So you use what's really the namesake apple, of Sebastopol in it. And I think it tastes so natural. Like it's the most real apple tasting cider I've had.
Yeah. Yeah. The Gravenstein having a great acid profile. It gives so much flavor. Mm-hmm. And then we blend it back with the Golden Delicious apples, which, you know, lends to be a little bit more on the sweeter side. Yeah. So it has, you know, the blend comes together really nicely. And it's been great, too, because it just kind of pays tribute to the history of this area and the Gravenstein mm-hmm. apple being a huge part of that history.
Love it. Can you do anything with raspberries, given your mom's side of...
Besides the Kozlowski jam that was originally, right?
Besides the Kozlowski jam.
And pies, I should say.
Yeah. I don't think we have any property with raspberries on it anymore.
Yeah.
So
Kozlowski kind of went, did they go more into wine grapes at some point as well?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Eventually, the raspberry patch and some of the apple orchards did become a vineyard. So they did have the Kozlowski family vineyard, which was there at Kozlowski Farms. And we did make a wine from that as well. Actually, we made a couple of different wines from that vineyard. Single vineyard Pinot Noirs.
Awesome. Well, we have to take another quick break. We'll be right back. We're here on The Good Stuff having a great conversation with our guest, Kylie Dutton, Vice President of Winemaking Production for Dutton Estate. Give us a little detail on how people can come visit, what wines they might try when they come, and any other things that you might have going on in the new year.
Yeah, we have lots of tasting experiences at the winery. Wines that you would taste would mostly consist of our single vineyard Pinots and Chardonnays. I know we talked about the wines named after my sisters and I, which we call the Sisters Collection. Those wines are distributed out in the marketplace, so those you would find in restaurants and high-end retail shops. But beyond those three wines, we make about four different single vineyard Chardonnays, and depending on the year, we can make about 7 to 9 different single vineyard Pinot Noirs.
Oh, I didn't realize you did that many Pinots. Yeah, that's awesome.
And we have two Syrahs as well that we do that are very small, limited case production. And so those are the ones that you would get to taste when you come and experience Dutton Estate Winery. You come in and you get to actually take a dive into the family estate portfolio of all the different vineyards that we offer. And we do, we have lots of events that we do. Take a look on our website, Instagram. We're always posting about events. We have a cellar tour that you could do an experience, a grape to glass experience that takes you into the vineyard, talks about the family story. Mm. You go into the cellar, learn about the winemaking, come in, try single vineyard Chardonnays, Pinot Noirs. We offer a picnic lunch that you could do. We partnered with Willowwood Market, which is a nice restaurant in Grayton. And so we go and pick up pre-made sandwiches from there, and we bring them back to the winery. Nice. So you can have a little picnic after your tasting, and we do cheese and charcuterie boards.
You got it all.
Yeah.
You've got it all. So we should mention that the tasting room is 8757 Green Valley Road. Technically Sebastopol, but like you said, it's kind of just as you would go into Grayton, kind of like that corner. Yeah. And you're open daily except Tuesday, 11 to 4.
Yes.
What is the website?
DuttonEstate.com.
Okay. And Instagram is at Dutton Estate Winery.
Yes.
So those are all the different ways that people can find you. Will you be, so as a winemaker?
Well, I have to interrupt though, because I'm on the Dutton Estate website.
Oh, okay.
And there's a s'more wine tasting.
Oh, yes.
And I love s'mores.
Okay.
So
well,
what the heck is that?
We do seasonal experiences, and the s'mores is one of them, where you could come and just, you get a little, everything is food grade, so you get this little, like little flame, and then you can roast your marshmallow, and then we have different candies and cookies that you can make s'mores out of.
Ding, 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 ding.
And it's just a fun interactive experience, trying to broaden from just, you know, having tastings, also try and you know, market to younger generations who want fun experiences.
Yeah. Super fun.
And we've done different, we've done the s'mores. What else? We've done dip your own caramel apples. So we use the Gravenstein apples where you can come in and you could, like, you know, dip That's your fun. Own caramel apple during your tasting.
not bobbing for apples.
Yeah,
like post pandemic.
I think some of that stuff just kind of went away forever, right?
I hope so. Yeah.
That was kind of always a little gross. I know.
And then next year will be our 30th anniversary. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
So look for maybe quite a few celebrations.
Quite a few celebrations. Of course, 2020 was our 25th, and we didn't get to celebrate, so we're going to go pretty big for the 30th.
That's awesome.
I want to know if you're going to get yourself back to New Zealand.
Maybe. Maybe one day.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
Maybe one day for fun, to actually travel, and see New Zealand, since I just saw the inside of a wine cellar.
And then you got back on a plane.
Well, so much to check out. Go to duttonestate.com. Follow along on Instagram at Dutton Estate Winery.
And thank you so much for joining us today, Kylie. Yeah. It was fun to hear your stories. To wrap things up on this week's Good Stuff, and yet another family member has graced the studio.
We're kind of moving through, right? We had Gail, we've had Steve, we had Gail and Mel Sanchetti, which was still one of my favorite shows.
That was an epic show.
Those two.
Highlight, for sure.
I know. And then, Steve on to talk a little bit about the H2A program. So he was on with Jordan, which was great. And then, now Kylie. Yeah. The other side.
I know. Fascinating. I mean, 30 years. So I didn't realize that their winery had been started.
Yeah.
That's a good marker.
That's a good chunk.
We'll have to have them back on to talk about that next year.
Well, they were two, and Steve with Dutton Goldfield and Joe with Dutton Estate with Tracy, they were two of the early, I think, farmers that started their own wine brand in Sonoma County.
So interesting.
Right? Because now you have Sarah's Ranch and San Giacomo, and you have, more that's at Booker's started their own. So it's a little more common in the last, 10 years, but that was pretty early.
It is really early.
For kind of that vision. Yeah.
I love it.
I know. I love it so much that we have our holiday good stuff.
I know. I mean, can we just have all of the wines that we've mentioned throughout?
Totally.
season?
So let it just be known. I'm just going to say this. There will be a lot of bubbles on Tuesday night. And then I'm going to, shout out to Dutton Estate, have the Dutton Estate Warren's Chardonnay. It's called the Warren's Collection in reference to Warren Dutton, Gail Dutton's husband, Kylie's grandfather, or I think Nonno, as they say, which I'm not Italian, so I have a hard time keeping up with all of those.
Yeah, who is things. Who?
Who's who, but a tribute to Warren. So. How about you?
Well, I'm always going to pick a Syrah if I can. And in this case, their 2021 Cherry Ridge Vineyard Syrah, always been one that I've liked a lot. And just want to support any winery that continues to make a Syrah
in the heart
of Russian River Valley.
I know.
Yeah.
It's a little cooler climate Syrah, which is great.
Okay. So many highlights from this year, but onward to...
I know. An exciting 2025 ahead. Yeah, so we wish everyone out there a happy new year and happy wrap up to the 24 season.
Yep. Make your bubble rings loud.
Yes.
Loud and often.
I think everyone should do a bubble bell tribute on New Year's Eve.
Maybe write a song.
In honor of the show.
I think that's a good idea. All right. Well, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to enjoy the good stuff.
A very special cheers to that.